This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I mean, what are we doing here? It's NFL Draft Week, right? Well, we got Center Field by John Fogerty opening up the Extra Point Show. And for good reason, everybody, welcome in. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here on a, what I would say, absolutely gorgeous Western New York Wednesday. And when it's a gorgeous Western New York Wednesday in late April, we are thinking about baseball as much as we are thinking about the NFL draft. Yeah, we'd love to be thinking about Sabres playoff games, but that's another story for another time. And that's why I am here at Salen Field right now. I am in the actual dugout at Salen Field right now doing the Extra Point Show live. You never know. In this business, I've done shows from all different parts of the country, all different events. I have never done a live show from a professional baseball stadium dugout. Well, guess what? Today is a little bit different. There's good reason for that. It is Micah Hyde charity softball game press conference day. So the former Bills safety is going to be here in a couple hours. He'll have his press conference. I'll be a part of that because I will say I'm honored, as always, to once again be the MC on the field for not only the charity softball game, but the home run derby, which occurs before that. And we know that you love to come out for it because it's been a tremendous success. 16,000 plus people the last couple of years. I think we're expecting the same. We're going to talk about that in a little while. This year, we'll get you all the information about it. But glad to be here with you today. We're going to combine a little baseball and football today because, yeah, you have Micah Hyde charity softball game. And Micah, of course, a former safety for the Buffalo Bills who has recently announced his retirement from the NFL. And speaking of the NFL, we have the NFL draft, and that is coming up tomorrow. We are less than 48 hours away. We're really just over 24 hours away, I guess, tomorrow night, whatever that would be, 30-something hours from the start of the 2025 NFL draft. And as you, this happens every year. As you get closer to the NFL draft, you start to hear more and more reports about guys with medical concerns, guys with character concerns, high risers. What did I hear today? Derek Harmon is falling because of a medical concern. Walter Nolan is rising, high riser. I got Peter Schrager, I think, mocking a safety to the Bills. Speaking of Micah Hyde, I don't think that's the case, but now it makes me go, wait a minute, what is he hearing? He's Peter Schrager. He's got information. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's why this day and tomorrow is so fun. We're going to talk about all of that today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can hit me up on Twitter. You can also give me a call at 803-0550 and at Sal Sports. And, of course, that is always getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Speaking of the draft, I want to remind everybody that tomorrow night, Jeremy White and Jody Biasi are taking over Resurgence Brewing for the ultimate draft night party. Tickets are $45. That includes pizza, all-you-can-eat drink and beer and well drinks, and you can enjoy live analysis, huge TVs, crystal clear sound. You're not going to miss a pick, plus local vendors including Paula's Donuts and giveaways all night, including an all-exclusive fantasy football party for 12. How about that? At Resurgence Brewery, Brewing, courtesy of Resurgence. No purchase necessary. Get your tickets now at resurgencebrewing.com. Joining me right now in the dugout here at Bison Stadium, Salen Field, I should say, is the general manager of the Buffalo Bisons, Anthony Sprague. Good to see you, and of course, we couldn't have picked a better day to do this.
Sal, this is you're right. It's a pristine day here. We're, you know, with the sun shining on us. Sorry, it's messing with your computer a little bit here, but I think we take that over anything else. Yeah, beautiful day here. Yeah, there's so much going on. I honestly kind of forgot that the draft is tomorrow, so I'm anxious to hear all the different things that could be going on here. But yeah, this is a beautiful day, great day. I love seeing how the sausage is made here and how you guys do your radio show. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, technology is growing over time. We were talking, I was talking with Brad, who's in the front office with the Bisons as well, a little while ago, and I said, I remember back in the day in the 90s, I was working in Florida, we had these big antennas, we'd have to lift up and pull up, and it was almost going to fall on us. Doesn't matter these days. I got my phone sitting here, and I can go live from anywhere in the world. Technology is amazing, including what you see around the ballpark. It's always evolving for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, we've got the teams need Wi-Fi in the dugouts now to be able to see every pitch and challenge what they want to challenge and everything. So yeah, we're good to go. We're locked in here and ready for Micah to get here. Ready for the press conference. It's a great time.
All right, so before I get to Micah, you opened up the door here for me for a second. I wanted to ask you, the NFL draft is going to be in Green Bay this weekend, and we know the Bills have put in to host the NFL draft. We know that from Pete Guelli, their COO. He told me that down at the owners' meetings, 28 or maybe 29. When it comes to the draft, there could be other possabilities where things could be held. How about getting what would be your process to say, hey, you know what, we have a stadium here, we have Area 2, maybe the Bison's going to help out. When it comes to all that, what would be your conversations with the league, with Pete Guelli, with the Bills, or anything like that?
Oh, boy, that'd be great. I mean, we'd love to. I mean, look at today to showcase Buffalo and what a beautiful time it is. I know it could be snowing just as easy, but boy, look at this. It's beautiful. Yeah, it would be cool to have have the players do an outing here. There's so many properties around Buffalo that could be showcased. I know obviously the new stadium would be something big, but we could see how many players or how many chicken wings they could eat. I'm sure there'd be some cool stuff that we could do all around, no doubt.
So a couple of years ago, the Blue Jays had to play all their home games here due to COVID. You guys had a massive renovation of this, and a lot of this stuff is still in place and really makes for one of, if not the best, minor league ballpark in the country. It is the largest minor league ballpark in the country, which just blows my mind after 30 years that is still the case. Tell everybody about some of the things here. Maybe they haven't been here in a couple of years. Maybe they have been. Anything that's been carried over that you guys are really proud of that you've done, or anything that's new?
Yeah, I mean, the majority of the stuff that was done was for the players. It's downstairs in the clubhouse. We have a major league clubhouse now that you guys coming through. They don't mind signing with the Blue Jays if they're going to end up in Buffalo because we have such a great facility here for them. Yeah, I mean, if you can see, the field is just beautiful here, brand new. When the Jays were here, redid it and everything. The new configuration now, we used to have the bullpens on the field. Bullpens are actually out in right field now, so we have that major league field. And honestly, for the fans, we haven't done as much as we wanted to, but we really filled up the promotions this year, and we do have a few irons in the fire that we're working on for the next few years for fan amenities.
Star Wars night, always a big night. July 4th, always a great time here at the ballpark. Some traditional promotions and some new ones. Tell us a little bit about what's going on this year.
Yeah, you hit the few. Star Wars night, May 31st. The BPO, world-renowned orchestra, July 3rd, that July 4th weekend every time. That's a tradition here. But we have, honestly, we have so many new promotions this year. I forget of all the different ones that we have going on. We talked a little bit last year. I teased the Kyle Brandt bobblehead last year, too. No teasing this year. It's Goo Dolls bobblehead. Fan Appreciation Night, September 19th. And that one is going to be a huge, huge, huge bobblehead, huge night. I honestly think, that's going to be a night we sell out with all that stuff going on. Backing up the calendar a little bit, we have in August, we have the date escapes me on that one. So for anything Bisons, go to Bisons.com. Harry Potter night. We have been, probably 3 or 4 years, fans have, the chatter has grown to have Harry Potter night here. So finally, Harry Potter night, I want to say August 13th, scarf giveaway, one of the Hogwarts scarves kind of with a Bison's theme to it as well. So those are very cool. And I think that night itself is going to be I came up with Star Wars. It's always my firstborn, if you will. I think Harry Potter outdraws Star Wars night this year.
But Star Wars, you came up with it, but now you guys really have kind of one of the better Star Wars nights in the country because of a couple of different things.
Yeah, so it's funny. My son was watching I don't remember what baseball game. The Yankees playing somebody the other day, and they had a Star Wars promotion on. And there, it was cool. They had the guys with lightsabers and everything hitting with them and stuff. And he said, "Dad, the Yankees stole your idea. They're doing Star Wars night. Do you get anything for that?" And I'm like, "No,
royalties, right? Yeah,
no, I didn't come up with Star Wars, so sorry on that." But yeah, we started it. Geez, it got to be over 15 years ago. We weren't the first team, but we were the second. To do it, and I still think we do it the best out of everyone. No one has a life size Jabba the Hutt in their concourse bellowing out. We're definitely the only one that has that.
What about the jerseys? I've heard the jerseys are a little bit unique, and you guys have like kind of something special that other places can't do.
Yeah, so the Ahsoka Tano has been one that one of the members that we have is from Rochester. He creates all of our jerseys. And everyone else has the cookie cutter thing that now, Lucasfilms has kind of taken that over a little bit. But we have submitted this jersey, I want to say 5 years in a row. And finally, this past year, they agreed, okay, you can have your Ahsoka jersey because she's going to be a huge part of the show that we do after the game and through the game with the video clips and everything like that. So, yeah, no one else has this. And next year, you're going to see a bunch of teams have it. But, yeah, our guy created this, and it's a really cool jersey. Fantastic.
Anthony Sprague, GM of the Buffalo Bisons, joining me here. As the GM of a minor league team, you get a front row seat to a lot of the changes in baseball that filter up through Major League Baseball. We've seen a lot of them over the last few years. The challenge system you just brought up. You have the bigger bases. You have the pitch clock. From your standpoint, how has all this worked, and especially for kind of a proving ground for a lot of this stuff?
Yeah, you know what? It's cool. Just generally about minor league baseball, too. Quick story. We had the Blue Jays went into extra innings on Saturday, 13, 14 innings, started blazing through pitchers. And so obviously we needed to fill that spot. We needed to have a couple of our players come and fill it in. Alan Roden goes up. We get him from Syracuse. We drive him up to Toronto. The next day he pitches and sets all sorts of major league records. So we got the grounds crew doing their work here. He set up with strikeouts for a pitcher making their first appearance in Major League Baseball. And those are things that you just don't see everywhere. It's unbelievable that someone could have seen him pitch on Friday and the next day he's setting all these major league records on Sunday. Amazing stuff. But yeah, you mentioned the challenge system and the pitch clock and all stuff that is almost secondary to us now. We get to see kind of in action and get to have legit feedback on what we think works, what we think doesn't work, and what we think Major League Baseball should implement. And I'm kind of surprised they didn't actually implement the strike challenge system after this.
How's it gone for you?
Fantastic. I mean, it adds an element of excitement to the game. And there's another, baseball is a thinking man sport, as you know, Sal. And it adds another layer to it that, boy, do I challenge. It's a 1-1 count in the third inning, but I know that was a ball, but I don't want to risk it because you only get two challenges. And you want to save them for later in the game. So it was interesting to see some of the major league spring training games and how they're just challenging willy-nilly there at the beginning and how they made those adjustments towards the end. But I feel like that, just like the pitch clock, that most likely will be coming at some point.
All right, so Micah Hyde, we're here today for his press conference for his charity softball game, which will be a week from Sunday, May 4th. Speaking of Star Wars, may the 4th be with you, and come out here for Micah Hyde. Let's go back to when this all started and how it's grown. What tell us what you're most proud of about how this has evolved for you.
You were there. You've been here. You've been with us every year. That first year, we probably sat there after the first year, and there was only like maybe 3,000 people, 2,500. And there legit was a conversation that we had maybe a month before with the Lammy folks and with Micah. And we said, I don't know if we should do this. Just the the sales aren't there. Maybe we should, and I'm Brad, and you mentioned we were in, and we said no, go with it. Even if we get a couple thousand people, that's building blocks. You never, any type of, you start an event, you're never going to sell it out in the first year. It doesn't happen. It was the first step of making and what we knew was going to be a good event. And I remember standing on the field after that first game, and I looked around and I said, everyone that's here, and you all know who you are, you, the 2,500 that were here at the first one, and I know you agree with me that you look back at that event and you say, I wish it was like that. Now, you know, obviously it's going to be sold out and a ton of people. The energy is so much more, but the experience, I'm sure everybody walked out of here with a signed softball or something. It was all new. The players had so much fun. They still do, but seeing the event in its infancy and feeling it grow and being there and knowing, because you can tell when you have an event and it's going to be a good event, you can really tell when you're in it. And that one, we could tell certainly right after. And it was like, oh, man, this is going to be humongous. And now we had the, you know, COVID and Blue Jays, so we couldn't go through with it. But and obviously the Bills being the monsters of the East that they are right now certainly helped. But the event, it was so cool that first year, knowing what it was going to become was really
cool. And I will say this from my standpoint. To come back after having it a couple of years where you didn't have it, to come back and have it still as big as it was or even bigger than it was after 2 years off. And then you remember it was held 1 year after the shooting at Tops. Yep. And there was a discussion what to do. I remember being in those discussions and saying, "What we want to treat this right. You know, we want to be respectful of everything." And I remember you and the Lammy folks and Micah said, let's do this for the community. We need to bring people together. And we did. And it was amazing. And you did. And I get chills thinking about how emotional that day was.
Yeah, the anthem was just, you could feel the energy and you could feel.
That was Mo Badger, the singing cop.
Yep. You know, he did an unbelievable job. He was passionate. I think just everyone knew and could feel, you know, a little bit of healing there, us coming together at that event. And you know, Micah had some of the families that were impacted here on after the field. I mean, it was I think the right thing to do. You never know what's right and what's wrong at the time. You make the best decision that you think you can for the community at the time. And I think we made a great call, and it was an unbelievable event.
And now I'm sure that Brian Lammy and his team could speak more to this, and Micah can, but you know how much money this has raised for a lot of different causes. It's not just the Imagine for Youth Foundation anymore. And that's a really cool part that I know Micah will talk about today that he's really proud of, Anthony, which is being able to incorporate more of these foundations, more of these fundraisers and things that other Bills teammates are a part of.
Yeah, and he is, and I'm not going to speak for Mike on it, but I just in these meetings that we're having, he's so excited that it's not just a him thing. He's always made it about the city of Buffalo and the fans and the community, but now it's about the players and everybody that has a foundation is getting an equal part to this. And they are so appreciative of what he's doing, what he started. And yeah, it's weird to say, you know, former safety for the Bills. It still sounds weird, but I think he wants to be a part of Buffalo. He wants to be a part of this forever, but he knows the connection to the guys to get him here is not as easy when you're not in there. You're not going to battle with them every Sunday. So he's doing a great job of keeping that connection with his guys. And I think he is laying the groundwork for this event to be here, you know, for the next 30 years.
So it's not just a softball game. Yeah. You come out here, you get offense against defense. That's pretty cool. There's a home run derby. There's festivities. Tell everybody about what is happening on Sunday, May 4th here in the stadium.
Yeah, so Sunday, 9 o'clock. Don't want to miss it. We'll have, we're talking all the vendors. The tailgate's back again, of course. Bills Mafia has to have their tailgate party. So we'll be out there at 9 o'clock. Slew of vendors, slew of, you know, kids' activities, food trucks. I know Wing Nuts is going to be here, so I don't know what's too early to have chicken wings, but we're
never in Buffalo.
We're going to test that out on Sunday for sure. Everyone was kind of talking about, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. There could be like some sort of a breakfast wing or something
it.
Like
I
that, that they can put some scrambled eggs over the top of one. I don't know. But yeah, so that starts at 9. Gates open at noon. And, you know, right at the, but we went last year, we opened them a little early. People were trying to get in. So we might do that as well, too. Just be ready. Home Run Derby at 1 o'clock. And look, I know, you know, Josh is, he's got a title to defend. I know it's not,
now, wait a minute. Hold on. He got taken away last year, right?
Oh, that's right.
That
right.
Spencer, okay. I think Spencer won it. Like, Josh had one swing left to do it. He didn't.
He fouled it back. That's right.
He was
trying
so hard. He wants to get that title back.
He does. We're still working on confirmation there. It's not, you know, but he is acting like he wants to come. And I can tell you, he has said he wants to put on an absolute show. That we got some new bats this
Woo!
Year. The ones that we had are a good maybe a decade old at this point. So if we put a new piece of lumber in his hand, it'd be fun to see what he can do. So if you're in, you know, he might hit the new stadium from Salem Field. We'll see.
All right, and then also, if people are wondering, okay, weather. I remember a few years ago, rained a lot in the morning. Everybody still showed up. We waited it out. We started later. You know what was cool? You had the tarp on, and it was one of those deals where you see, like, in, I don't know, what, Bull Durham, right? Like,
yeah.
Greg Manns was doing belly flops on the tarp.
I appreciate that he came and asked, can I do this, before he actually did. And I said, can you please just take your cleats off first so we didn't have any holes in the tarp or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, each year is different. There's always a different experience. There's always something different going on that that you never know what's going to happen. And that was, look, I hope it's just like today.
Yeah.
And the long range forecast does have some nice sun and 60 degrees in it. So hopefully that sticks. But yeah, I mean, that's a cool part about everything. These guys are out there just having fun. They enjoy being with the fans, having that connection. It's not easy on a game day to have a one-on-one connection with a fan. And this is, while it is the biggest stadium in minor league baseball, you still have that intimacy. You still have that experience where you get to see these guys as humans and as real people with their families after. It's just, it's an unbelievable experience no matter where you're at. And there's, you know, there's only a couple thousand seats left. So if you haven't gotten them yet, there's still time, but not a whole ton of time.
And where do people go to do that?
Alwaysbisons.com for everything.
All right. So Bisons.com for that. And you guys have a homestand going on right now. So let's talk about that and, you know, what's going on this weekend here at the ballpark as we get ready for next weekend and the Micah Hyde game.
So I forget about that. Yeah, there's so many things that we have going on. Yep, we got the draft. We got Micah coming up, and we have our homestand that is currently going on right now. Tomorrow, we're talking about today, doubleheader 4:35.
Ooh.
Beautiful day. Beautiful day today. Tomorrow, 6:05. I think that is going to be – that. It's like a pristine summer day, 75 and sunny. So that's going to be great.
And tomorrow, let me say this.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bills don't pick till late.
Oh, there we
so
go.
You can come to the game,
and
you get home and watch the Bills pick.
And even if, say, we go into extras like we did last night, we're going to put it up on the video
All
board,
right,
too,
yeah.
Well, so you're not going to miss anything. And you get to enjoy it with some of your closest friends here in Buffalo. And then Friday, obscure jersey night, kind of one of the cool nights for any sports fan. I can't even the list of winners that we've had in the past, just some wild jerseys that I'm like, how is that a thing? That the one that got me the most was so I liked the hockey movie there with Youngblood.
Yeah.
Was it Radka?
Racky.
Racky. Racky.
Yeah. What do you say? Let's go, pretty boy.
Yeah. There, someone had his jersey. And I'm walking through, and look, my dad made me watch that movie,
yeah.
40 years ago probably. And that was one that I stood out, and I was like, oh, this guy's got to win. That's too much. I've never seen a Radka jersey there.
So any obscure jersey you could do, could be any
whatever.
Sport
yep.
or whatever, but it's got to be kind of obscure where we don't normally see it.
Yeah. Can't you come with an Allen jersey? Come on, you're not winning anything.
Right.
Sorry. But yeah, it's Billy Joe Hobert was one that I think Brad was talking about. Yeah, some really really interesting jerseys.
I've seen a few of these. They're not totally unique, but the Tsujimoto jersey for the Sabres, the fake Japanese player the Sabres once drafted.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and there's different ones from, you know, Swedish hockey teams and stuff where you have to stop and say, all right, you got to tell me the story behind that one. It's cool. And the final thing this weekend, kids eat free.
Ooh.
So Saturday and Sunday, kids get a $12 ticket. You get a free Salem's hot dog, Coca-Cola, and a cotton candy And, you know, Saturday, I know there's the rain. Listen, the rain, I hate it when they do this. And but Todd Santos, Channel 4, does a really good job explaining it. The rain you see on the picture for Saturday, it's in the a.m., like 3 a.m. The day is going to be fine. So come Saturday, and Sunday is just going to be a pristine day. Kids run the bases after. So we're expecting a nice week here, great crowd.
Bisons.com for all that info. You just gave me a great, great idea for a segment. As we go to break, I want people to do this. Tweet at me, at Sal Sports, your most unique jersey that you own.
Ooh, I like
all right, we're going to do that. Courtesy of Anthony Sprague, all right? What is the one you own? Have you ever owned one, a unique jersey?
Lyndon Byers.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Boston Bruins jersey. Yeah, that's probably...
How did you get that?
So my dad was a collector a long time ago, and he just loved hockey fights. We would go wherever we would go, he'd set the VCR. Oh, I'm going to record this game. I think there's going to be a lot of fights in it. And he would come home and like fast forward through the game and watch to see who was going to fight or whatever. And I'm like, Dad, you can just go on YouTube now and you can see them all. But Lyndon Byers was a guy and had blood on his jersey and stuff. So that was the that
you
was
and me. That'd be Bruce Schubottom from the Bruins. Remember that guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
What a great for me. I would say I'm not a big jersey guy. I do have a Syracuse metallic Carmelo Anthony 15, and they never wore that color.
Yeah.
But they never wore it. I have an orange and a metallic.
Yeah, that's you're hitting all of them. It could be college jerseys. It could be anything all down the line. It's the weirder the better. There's movie jerseys. Like someone had Charlie Conway from Mighty Ducks, and it's so fun to walk around and see all the jerseys. We've done this a few years. And we try and keep it fresh, but it's so cool, and people get into it, so we just keep doing it.
And that's Friday night, right?
Friday night, yep.
All right,
Friday
so night. Bisons.com, we go for all that. Thanks a lot, man. Right, really appreciate you. I know you got a lot of work to do today, but we'll catch up here at the home plate scrum press conference when Micah arrives.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll see when he gets here, absolutely.
Okay, right. Thank you. That is Anthony Sprague, the GM of the Buffalo Bisons. Anthony gave me a great idea. Let's do it. At Sal Sports, tweet at me right now, okay? What is the most unique jersey that you own? The unique, or maybe that you've ever owned, I guess, because sometimes you just, you have it for a while, and get rid of it. We'll do that. I'll run through some of those. Let's talk about it, and let's talk about the NFL draft. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, live from Salem Field in downtown Buffalo.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, I got some great responses coming through Twitter. This is amazing. I love it. Some of you have amazing jerseys. I'm going to read these, all right? The reason why we even talked about this is because Anthony Sprague, the Bisons GM, was on with me here a little while ago. I am down at Salem Field here today. Downtown Buffalo, Sal Capaccio with you, WGR Sports Radio 550, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and it's Micah Hyde Charity Softball Game Press Conference Day. So Micah's going to be here at some point, a little while. I'm hoping Micah shows up while I'm on the air here that we can have him on, but if not, that's fine. And while we were talking with Anthony Sprague, he said, tomorrow night here at the stadium is obscure jersey night. Obscure jersey. And he said every year they have this promotion and they have some more, the most obscure jerseys they could find, and you win prizes. So I said to you, tweet me at Sal Sports what obscure jerseys you have. Some of you have actually included pictures. Some haven't, which is fine. So let's get connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. You can also call 803-0550. Maybe you're not on Twitter, /X, whatever. You want to call? You want to tell me what obscure jerseys you have? You can do that as well. Because I think these are super cool. All right, so Josh, we got Marv who tweets in. He has a collection of Sarazo Osaka jerseys because he lived in Osaka and is a huge fan of Japanese soccer.
I like that.
Soccer
jerseys are fun.
Yeah, we have, okay, Brandon says, I apologize for not being able to say this name correctly. Guillaume Latendresse. There it is. A Montreal Canadiens jersey. He was the first number 84 in the NHL back in 2007, and he has it.
The first ever number 84?
That's what he says. Whoa. Which makes sense.
How 2007?
Back then, you didn't get a lot of those number 84 in 2007. Does that make sense? I guess it could be.
That's a long time to never have an 84.
We're going to hold Brandon to that.
Yeah.
He says it.
That's fair.
Okay. Eric says, I have a Baltimore Ravens Deion Sanders, an Atlanta Braves Deion Sanders, and the most obscure one he owns is a Miami Dolphins Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Did you know, Josh, there was a guy for the Miami Dolphins, a running back named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
No, that's incredible.
Yes.
What?
he changed his name because of his religion, and he changed his name. He wasn't Kareem Abdul-Jabbar until I think he got to the Dolphins. I have to remember what his name was with UCLA. You can look it up. But he actually went to UCLA, just like the other Kareem Abdul-Jabbar went to UCLA. Will, how about this? He has pictures. He has a Max Afinogenoff Team Russia jersey. That's super cool.
That's an awesome jersey. I mean, Team Russia Max Afinogenoff is crazy.
Jack says he has a Rasmus Ristolainen Team Finland jersey. J.J. Paterka Germany jersey. A Creamsicle Mike All-Star Buccaneers. Orange Rudy Johnson Bengals jersey, Tim Wakefield Pirates away gray, and a Don Cherry Rochester Amex jersey. I'm voting Jack as the. I think I'm guessing Jack is a jersey collector.
Did you say
don't have
Don
those unless
Cherry?
You actually. Yes, that's what he said.
Wow, that's impressive.
I know. How about you? What do you got? Anything?
It's funny you brought this up, and I was thinking about a few different ones I've got. I've got my favorite team in England is Everton for soccer, and I have a Gylfi Sigurdsson jersey. He's an Icelandic soccer player. If you know the story behind Iceland's soccer team, you can go through their population. Since the population of Iceland is so small, you can go through their census and literally pick out every single one of the soccer players, even though they don't have their profession listed. You can break down their population all the way down to the 22 guys on the Iceland soccer team. It's incredible. The story there is just awesome. Some other ones I have a Joe Pavelski World Cup of Hockey jersey from 2016, which is like one of my favorites just because I really like Joe Pavelski and those jerseys are awesome.
Right.
But my most obscure, there's a soccer team in England called Walton Hersham FC. They're in the 7th division of the English football pyramid. So the Premier League is the top. This team, I discovered back during COVID on TikTok, they were in the lowest level possible in England. And for the past 4 years, past 3 years, I should say, they've got back-to-back-to-back promotions. And they're currently in place to potentially get promoted again if they win their playoff games. So
wow.
There's no one on the back of that one because it's just a blank jersey. But those are some of my favorites. And that one specifically, I think, is my most obscure because whenever I bring that team up, unless you've seen them on TikTok, they went viral because the guys that own the team are like my age. Like there was like six guys that bought the team for $1 back in 2020. And they've gotten this team built up to what it is now where they have this huge social media platform and they have all of these fans all over the world. And you know, it's really cool. It's just an awesome, you know, team building story. So hopefully one day they'll be in the Premier League and everyone will know who they are. And I can say, hey, I was a fan, you know, 20 years ago or however long it'll take. But, you know, that I think is my favorite.
I love it. That's some really good stuff. You heard what I said earlier. I'm not a big jersey guy. I had I still own a Thomas Vanek slug. Okay.
Oof. That's a great jersey. I wish I had
right?
one.
So I think is that a good jersey?
The slug,
that's cool, right?
The slug is a great jersey. It just followed up the best jersey of all time, which is the goat head. I mean, if you didn't follow the goat head with the slug, I think it would have been widely accepted. Personally.
Let me ask these guys. Let me ask John and Anthony. I have a Thomas Vanek slug jersey. Is that a good jersey? It's the slug. Thomas Vanek. Yeah. Yeah? Because the... I know. It's not that unique, but the slug is, right? I know. I know. John's here from 26 Shirts. He's taking part in helping out with the jerseys for the softball game. So we say thanks to him as well. I have that. And I used to own a Curtis Brown goat head, though. That was one I loved. I loved Curtis Brown. Number 36. He was 37. He was one of my favorite Sabres ever. Curtis Brown, the goat head. Remember him playing back in the day? Is that a little bit for you, though?
I do.
Josh?
I remember seeing highlights of him, but I don't ever remember like in-game action. I just maybe it's probably just when I'm older watching highlights, you know, but I do know of him. So
here we go. Todd tweets in, I love this because Anthony and I were talking about it. Todd says he has a 1987 Maine Mariners Bruce Shoebottom jersey. He has a Maine Mariners Bruce Shoebottom jersey. Anthony's listening. Todd, here you go, Todd. Since you're listening right now, we're gonna give you Bison's tickets. Oh, yeah. Right? We're gonna give Todd Bison's tickets. Anthony said, randomly find someone who's got a great one. Here you go. You got that? All right. So we got Todd here. I want Todd Mariani. I'm gonna tag the Bisons on this tweet. That way you get them, okay? And then you can DM them. So, Todd, thank you very much. Anthony Sprague, the Bisons GM, just heard that, and he knows exactly what you mean. His dad was a hockey fights guy who grew up in watching the Bruins, and Bruce Shoebottom was a hockey fights guy. So, Todd, you're going to get some Bisons tickets courtesy of Anthony Sprague. What's that? And that's where his dad grew up. So there you go. Todd, great job. I love that. See, look at that, Josh. We're giving away stuff. All right? I love that.
Bruce
just
Shoebottom
for obscure jerseys.
That's just an all-time name. I found
it is an amazing name to put on any jersey.
I just found a great tidbit
whether you knew about him or not, right?
Yeah, I just found a great tidbit about Bruce Shoebottom, actually. He scored his first and only NHL playoff goal against the Sabres, and fans responded by throwing shoes on the ice.
I love that. Yes, I probably remember that. I mean, they played the Sabres and Bruins played some amazing series in the 80s where all it was fights. And there was one time, and you can go find this on YouTube as well. I don't know. I think it might have been 87 or 88. The Bruins players were getting over the glass and trying to fight with Sabres fans. That happened. Okay. That's how crazy it was back in that time for these fights. And Bruce Shoebottom used to fight Kevin Maguire all the time. Like every game these guys would fight, they'd go at it, they had these great battles. And then you had a couple other guys for the Bruins, and I can't remember, I'm sure a name will come to me. And you had another Mike Hartman maybe for the Sabres was a fighter during that series. But some of these fighters are in jerseys are really awesome. All right, Chris says he also has a Curtis Brown red butter knives jersey. I like that. Angelo, Taquio Spikes 2004 Pro Bowl jersey. This is great. I have a San Antonio Gunslinger jersey from the CFL, says Lou Rossi. Ryan's got a couple of really interesting Josh Allen jerseys. One has the one upside down, and I think this is because it's, it's a Sabres and Bills kind of together, which is really interesting. Thank you very much for all these tweets. I love it. Who is this? Super Bowl champions t-shirt from the fourth appearance. Oh, yeah. The Bills didn't win it, obviously, but those were made just in case, says Jeff. That's not a jersey. That's a shirt. I love it. We can go to the phone lines as well. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump on and give me your most obscure jersey that you've ever known. Why are we doing it? Because the Bisons are having an obscure jersey night on Friday. Yes, I know the draft is tomorrow, but this is fun. Anthony Sprague was just on a little while ago. We're down here for Micah Hyde's press conference. Let's go to, who is this on the line? Joe. Let's go to Joe, who's up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point. Joe, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Sal, great show. I love it. I used to be the principal at Akron High School for many years.
Okay.
And we played the Sabres alumni in basketball. And, of course, Rob was a chief cook in the whole game. But I had a Ty Domi jersey that I got from Scott McManigle. And after we played the alumni, I asked Rob, would you sign this? And he signed it. I kicked Domi's butt, Rob Ray.
And I love that.
I still have it. It's got to be worth a few bucks because I can't imagine there's anyone like it around. So great piece of Sabres history with Ray and Domi and just the
Have you ever up. Seen Have you ever seen Rob after that to let him know about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, we spent a few hours at the local watering hole after that game, so... Rick Martin was their coach, you know, God rest his soul. But
yeah,
we've talked about it, and you know, Rob is just, there's no one like him.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Charity work.
Joe, thank you for sharing. Thanks for your service to education as well, buddy. Thank you.
You got it, buddy. You take care.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I know how that can be, you know, in giving back like that. It means a lot. Tim, you're up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What's up, Tim?
Hi, guys. How we doing?
Good. What do you got for me?
I have a 1991 Pat Falloon San Jose Sharks, the white San Jose Sharks jersey. Pat Falloon was drafted at Memorial Auditorium, number 2 overall, which was San Jose's first ever draft pick. And number 1 that year was the most controversial pick probably ever with Eric Lindros to the Nordiques.
Uh-huh. And then he ultimately gets traded to the Flyers. And what's that?
For Peter Forsberg.
Yep. And it was you're right, though. That was a really interesting draft. And you're right, it was right here in Buffalo. I remember that. Man, good memory, good stuff. Is that why, by the way, is that why you got the Falloon jersey? Because it was here in Buffalo?
No, just my brother and I were huge hockey guys. We followed him. He had huge junior numbers, was supposed to be, you know, all world and everything. But for Lindros being number 1, he never really panned out. But we still have the jersey in my dad's house. We've moved out. It's at my dad's house, still in the closet. We laugh about it all the time. And back in the early 90s, if you had a jersey, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like they are now where you can buy them cheap and get them anywhere. I mean, it was a huge deal for us to have a jersey like that.
No doubt. I totally get it. The first jersey I ever owned. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the phone call, Tim. First jersey I ever owned was not like an authentic. We just kind of had to piece it together because I was young and, you know, didn't have money to go out and buy jerseys that were costing a lot of money. Josh, I was a Paul Sear fan, number 18 of the Sabres. I always joke with Danny Gare that, you know, they let Paul Sear wear his number, even though they retired his number, Danny Gare. But Paul Sear was my favorite Sabre in the mid-80s. He's since passed away, but I wore it. And it was not an authentic one. It's just one of those ones you could tell that they just printed the name on, or, you know, they just kind of ironed it on, I guess. Is how you want to say it, right? It wasn't threaded.
Oh, I had a Chris Drury jersey like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
No doubt. We're having fun today down here at Salem Field. Good stuff. What's your most obscure jersey you own? We already gave away some Bison's tickets because we had a guy say the Bruce Shoebottom jersey. And that's exactly Anthony Sprague's wheelhouse. I love it. Tim comes aboard with a great one replica. Oh, man, this is beautiful. Wayne Gretzky's Brantford youth jersey. Man. A Marty Biron 00. I get this from Jack. Jack's our jersey guy. What is this? Saw this after a Sabres game last week. Waiting since 70. It says 70 and it says waiting since as the name. I love that, obviously, for the Stanley Cup, no doubt about it. Pavel Bure, number 10. What is this? Is not, where is this one from?
Pavel Bure is great. Is it the white spaghetti skate jersey?
It's not a, hold on, it's not a Canucks jersey. What is this? It's a red one. I'm gonna have to see where this came from here. I'll take a look. All right. Tweet me at Sal Sports. You got any of this? We're going to take a timeout here. We're having fun today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Yes, it is NFL Draft Week. We got the coverage for you all day, tomorrow, everything. We got more stuff for you tomorrow, obviously, leading into the draft, night number 1. In the meantime, Micah Hyde, former Bills safety, is going to be having a softball game here at Salem Field a week from Sunday. He's got his press conference and media availability today. So we're here for that today at Salem Field in downtown Buffalo. Man, this great weather in downtown Buffalo makes me want to play some golf. I told you, I just got fitted for a driver last weekend. I don't have it yet. It's going to be coming to my house, and I cannot wait to go out and golf. And we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with a WGR VIP golf card. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf, and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit Road in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at GetMyPerks.com. MicahHyde.com. Sal Capaccio with you today. It is Micah Hyde charity softball game press conference day. A little media scrum. Press conference, yeah, but more middle of the home plate area, media around scrum. I think it's kind of more of a informal conversation type press conference, I guess, if you will. No podium or anything like that set up. Michael will talk about, you know, the Imagine for Youth Foundation, what it means. And there are still tickets left. Not a lot. This thing gets sold out every year, and it's amazing. I've been the MC on the field since its inception, and I'm so honored to be once again. Go to Bisons.com for more info and ticket information. Buffalo Hockey Moments tweets in. He's got a Randy Wood number 19. Got up a, who else? Phil has also a Marty Biron and signed 00. Chris Ostrander, I've got a signed Ryan Powell MLL Summer Showcase jersey. Very nice. All right. I love that. Roger Dorn and Ricky Vaughn jerseys from Major League, says Jim. These are amazing. Corey Bohorquez jersey. Some guy named Jacob, his sister, has that. That former Bills punter went on, played with the Browns, I think, most recently, the Packers as well. Good stuff there. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We're hoping to have Micah Hyde before he actually meets the media for the press conference at noon. If not, that's okay. We're still planning on bringing you Tre'Davious White from yesterday as well on his return to the Buffalo Bills. We got a lot going on here. I am inside the dugout at Salem Field in downtown Buffalo here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll take a timeout and come back after this.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
The obscure jerseys are still rolling in here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you live at Salem Field under a really great sun. Some clouds, but mostly sun. Salem Field, downtown Buffalo. The grounds crew is out. They're getting the field ready for tonight's game. Got a doubleheader going on tomorrow as well. Today, doubleheader. Tomorrow is 6:05, and you can get here, watch the game, and still get home in time to watch the Bills draft. So there's all these different games going on this weekend and times. And obscure jersey night on Friday night right here. With the Bisons, Anthony Sprague, Bisons GM, joined me a little while ago, and he said Friday's obscure jersey night. They have amazing obscure jerseys every year they see here, and they give prizes away. So I asked you to send me some of them with picks, encouraged. Psycho Buffalo says he has a Dave LeMay game-worn Buffalo Stampede RHI jersey, championship season. RHI. I have to, what is that? Do I know what RHI stands for? Should I know that? RHI, is that just the kind of jersey? Someone's going to tell me what that means. But it looks amazing, I'll say that. Someone said, I wish I had that. What is it?
Would it be roller hockey?
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Roller hockey, I think you're right. That's crazy. Come on, what are we doing here? This is amazing, I love it. How about this? Jeffy has a Bakari Rambo training camp jersey. I don't know where he got that. It doesn't say Rambo on it, but it is number 30. I don't know how you got that jersey from training camp, pal. Mark Pike Bills jersey, says Ken. Thank you very much. Okay, this is a great one. This is a great one. We got to get Brad. Listen to this, Brad. Brad, can you hear me over there? Brad, you listen? I got something for you. Ready? Listen to this. And Anthony Sprague. Brian just tweeted in. He said, when I was 12, I got to be the bat boy for the Bisons for a day. I met the butcher and got to wear what were then called the beach blanket jerseys when Buffalo was affiliated with the White Sox and that stripe across it. And he's got a picture. That's amazing. I love this. Very cool stuff. All right. Really great stuff here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
So
thanks a lot for hanging
RHI
with me.
Is. I figured
yes,
it out.
Yes, go ahead.
The Roller Hockey yep. International. It was a league.
Roller Hockey International. Thank you.
From 92 to 99. Buffalo had two teams. They had the Buffalo Stampede and the Buffalo Wings. They were at separate times.
Oh, my God. It's so cool to see some of this. Thank you so many of you for chiming in here. At Sal Sports on Twitter/X. Go on there. Show your jerseys if you can. Maybe you don't own it anymore. It doesn't fit anymore. Whatever the reason is, you could do that. Appreciate that. Give me a call, 803-0550. I'm standing here, sitting, actually, inside the dugout, the first base dugout, at Salem Field. And as I look out right in front of me is Roswell Park. You know, they're a big part of here, Buffalo, the Bisons. And, of course, we want you to join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you'll receive an email to pick up your team T-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. If you're not a rider, don't worry. You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com. We're going to hear from Tre'Davious White in a little while, but let's go out to Chuck, who's up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What do you got for me, Chuck?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
So you talk about obscure jerseys. I have a couple. It's actually like my thing that I'd ask for birthdays and
wow,
other special events. I have a Michael Scott Dunder Mifflin soccer jersey from like when they were on like the show.
Yeah.
Or it was like, yep, a volleyball jersey, I think. And I have a Goldberg Mighty Ducks goalie jersey as well.
Amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Chuck. Those are, I love the fact that you actually seek them out and want people to give them to you for presents and for gifts, because if that's your thing and you're a collector, it's no different than someone collecting baseball cards or coins or something like that. So very cool. Love to hear that. Love to get your responses here. We're going to hear from Tre'Davious White. He was down at One Bills Drive yesterday. It was our first chance to talk with him really in over a year, right? I mean, even longer than that. Truth is, when Tre'Davious was even coming back from his original knee injury, he didn't do much media. He didn't talk to the media much. He did one day. There was a very emotional scrum that we had after he'd returned and before he came back from the Achilles, from the knee, excuse me. But then, of course, he did tear his Achilles, and we didn't really hear from him much because his season was over, and then the Bills moved on from him last year in the offseason as a post-June 1 cut. Well, now he's back. And yesterday, down at One Bills Drive, Josh Allen talked about the opening of Phase 1 and offseason workouts. Brandon Bean spoke about the draft, his pre-draft press conference. In between was Tre'Davious White. And I know we weren't able to bring that to you right away on WGR, but we're going to do that right now because I think it was really, really interesting. And you'll hear the emotion in his voice and what it means for Tre'Davious White to come back to Buffalo and be a part of the Buffalo Bills. So let's do that for you right now. This is Tre'Davious White yesterday down at One Bills Drive. After we hear from him, I'll be back here at Salem Field in downtown Buffalo.
Micah, opportunity you thought out there?
You say what?
Was this the best opportunity you felt out there?
Why not? My answer is why not? Well, I mean, as a player myself personally, I always wanted to play for one team my entire career. Unfortunately, that wasn't able to happen, but having the opportunity to come back and do it with guys that I know, that I've grown with, went through so much adversity with, seeing me injured, come back, injured again. So having that opportunity is something that I can't pass up.
Trey, what did you learn from your time, you know, last year being away from?
To appreciate the time, appreciate the people that you do it with, because you never know. You never know if when it's your last time doing it with people that you started with. So, throughout the free agency process, even after the game, you know, even though we lost, but all the people that I went up to, I was like, look, let's try to work this thing out. I know y'all got a game to play next week, but if we can get to a place where, you know, I can get an opportunity to come back, I would love to do it.
Trey, so many players have been here, left, and then returned. What is it about the things that they do in this building that make it attractive once some players leave to come back?
It's a combination of a lot of things. Like, I could talk about the players, I could talk about the coaches, could talk about the front office, but it's just a fit. I don't think anybody that ever came back had a clear answer to why, but when you get here, it's just a feel. Like me walking through the door yesterday, it just seemed like I never left. Like so many familiar faces, some new faces too, but I just felt in place. I felt home. So for that, like I'm forever grateful and I'm so thankful to be back for sure.
Tell us more about that coming back yesterday. Like what was it like to see everyone? What was the reaction like?
Oh, the reaction was everything I expected. I knew everybody would be excited, but I was even more excited because just get an opportunity to play ball again, but with guys that like I really know. Like Taryn, I was in his wedding. So it's like close friends. It's really close people that, I really care about. And it's not like a work relationship. It's really a relationship outside of the field.
How did you deal with getting cut? Knowing that there were injuries and what the team was going through salary cap wise. Yeah. How did you deal with that and not hold it against the Bills?
Well,
or did you?
I didn't, because I know it's a business. But that was hard. That was hard, just being that this is the place that drafted me. So many relationships that I really cherish for a lifetime. It was hard because it wasn't something that it was just up to me. I see if I was playing and it was just wasn't working out wise and I get cut, but it was for something that I couldn't control. So that was the thing that hurt me the most, because I felt like if it wasn't that way, that I'd still be a Buffalo Bill going into year 9 with one hat under my name, and that's something that I always wanted. But moving forward, I got a bigger appreciation, man. Like, this place is so special to my family too, that this is the only place that I really want to be, and do it the right way. Hopefully we get a Super Bowl here and I'll be a part of it, because I was telling Taryn, me and Taryn was talking all throughout last year. I was like, y'all win a Super Bowl without me. Like, I'm getting an honorary ring. Y'all gonna have to send that to me. I'm gonna need that for sure, because I feel like I played a part in it. But it was hard, man, because I had so many goals. I had so many goals for myself, seeing myself in that uniform, that red, white, and blue. The things that I was able to accomplish, and the people that I was able to do it with, is just being back here to where it all started is full circle, and this how it's supposed to be.
How much did ending your season here last year contribute to kind of like getting the itch to come back?
I would say I didn't want my last game playing in the NFL to be on that field against the Buffalo Bills. So that would have been terrible. That would be something terrible that I had to deal with for the rest of my life. But now that's behind me, and I'm looking forward to this year. I'm looking forward to just going through the process, going into the meeting rooms, just doing everything over again. This is the right way. This is how it's supposed to be for me.
When did things start?
What was last year like in terms of coming back from the injury and being on different teams? Like, what did you take from that? What was that experience like?
It was a learning experience. I would say being at two different places in 1 year, like, it definitely opened my eyes to, you know, a lot of people do things different, and it's a lot of different ways that you can get to the end destination. But I feel like this is the only way that I really pretty much knew extensively, and that I knew that I feel like would work. But I think that, man, what I went through last year is something that it's something I'll never forget. It's in my football life, but it taught me so much about the game and just how to cherish the people too. Because, you know, going to two different places in 1 year, like, those are work relationships. Those are not authentic, built relationships that are gonna last a lifetime like my relationships that I have here. So I told my agent, man, I was like, look, if you can't get Buffalo on the line, just don't call me. This is the place that I want to be. So we were able to do it, and man, I was ready to go. Like, I was so excited. My entire family is excited. They're so excited to go into their attics, unbox those Buffalo Blue jerseys, and start back wearing the Buffalo Blue again. So this is a big time for me.
How are we feeling now, Trey? And was there a point where you felt like the injuries were finally behind you?
I'm feeling good now. Now it's just, you know, football is a 100% injury game, so you never know how injuries are going to show up. So only thing that I can do is do the best that I could to put my body in the best situation to perform at a high level. And with football, you know, injuries are unexpected, so those are things that, you know, you pretty much can't control. But for the controllable injuries, the soft tissue things like that, I'm on top of it, and I'm doing everything I can to prevent things like that. But as far as, like, freak accidents, you know, you never know. So Only thing I could do is put my best foot forward each and every day and just try to get my body in tip-top shape so it could be resilient against things like that.
What are your discussions with the team? What did they envision as far as your role this second go-around? And personally, how do you do that moving forward this second time around? What are you trying to get out of this opportunity?
I'm trying to win. You know, this is everybody knows the position the Buffalo Bills are in. I have been in for the last few years, and obviously it's to, you know, win a Super Bowl, man. Like, we've done everything but that, so I feel like that's the only goal that we have here is to win a Super Bowl and create great men while doing it.
Trey, when you got released last year, Sean McDermott was like visibly emotional talking about what you meant to the organization. I wonder, did you ever see that or hear that, and did you realize how big of an impact you had left when you first left?
Well, you know, when you're in it, you really never know, like, the impact that you have on people until you're gone or it's over. And Coach McDermott and I, we share a great bond just because I'm his first draft pick and of his first job. So that's something that we always cherish. But to hear him say that, like, that meant the world to me, because he's one of the people that's to see the work that a lot of people don't see, like me here over the summer, going through rehab, just trying to do everything I can to be the best version of myself. And so for him to say that, because he coached a lot of great players. So for him to say that about me, like, that's something that I forever cherish, because I know it comes from a genuine place coming from him.
What is your mindset when it comes to knowing that there's a starting opportunity opposite Christian? And in connection with your health and where you're at mentally and physically going into this season?
Mentally and physically, I'm great. Like, my therapist told me to leave the past in the past, and that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to move forward because that's all I can do. But just knowing the position that I'm in now, like, the only thing I can come in and is do the best that I can and showcase my talents to the best of my ability, and that's all I'm looking to do.
Trey, when did things start to materialize with the Bills and getting back here?
Oh, well, we've been talking about this thing for a few months, and trying to get it right, trying to get it to where it makes sense, but ultimately, this is where I want it to be, so however we could make it work for both parties, that's what we did, and they were happy, I was happy, and I was just happy to get back. So, you know, those things are going to take care of themselves, was what I learned over my time being a professional. But what ultimately matters, what happens when you get here and you get around your teammates and you start to work out together, watch film together, hang out together, and things like that. So that's the part, you know, that's the most important. You know, that the contractual part is something that's going to take care of itself, but being able to do it with people, like I said before, that you really genuine love, that's something that's priceless.
Trey, how have you seen Christian grow into the player he's become?
Oh, man. Oh, CB, he's a dog, man. Like, I'm legit genuinely proud and so happy for him, because to be a sixth-round pick, you know, you're fighting the odds. You come in with a first-round pick in the same draft, too, and then to be able to go through all that and come out the way he's come out and continue to get better and better. The sky's the limit for him. He total cornerback, take the ball away, tackle, does everything right, always in the right position. So the success that he's having is not a surprise, because when he came in as a rookie, he was ahead of the learning curve, like, as far as the playbook, as far as, like, technique and how he sees the game. Like, he was already a cerebral guy, so I feel like the stride that he's making now is not a surprise to the people that have seen him from when he first walked in.
Trey, we've seen you have a family here in Buffalo. You've been with us for a while. I mean, you know, you're to the point now where you're a big part of this community in a lot of ways. What did it mean to your family to be a part of this community again, and when that decision was happening?
Oh, I mean, it was a no-brainer. I always, you know, that was always a conversation between my family and I. It's just like, you know, we know free agency was coming, and I knew that, you know, we'll have some interest but ultimately I was like, if we got an opportunity to go back to Buffalo, that would be the perfect match, because, you know, similar people, like, I know the defensive scheme, I know how the program, I know how the schedule works, so it's just like me getting comfortable, because I'm a routine-based guy, so
with me already knowing how things pretty much work, like, that gave me a good sense of comfort.
I know you only signed a one-year deal, but you just turned 30.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still relatively young, and what do you think about, like, the future and where it holds for you and how this can go from here on out, not just this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just take it a day at a time, like always, but, you know, I try to stay in the moment. I'm going to try to stay in the moment and try to not to look too much into the future because, you know, with those things, you never know how it goes, but just me going through what I went through last year, it just caused me to just be in the moment, to enjoy what I'm going through right now, today, at this present moment. And I'm enjoying this interview too right now with you, Sal. So yeah, I just think that I just gotta appreciate the moment now and not try to look forward to what could happen, you know, in the future.
Trey, you mentioned first time around that you were in the moment, you're here and you're in it. You don't really see anything outside of the peripheral. Are you now going to try to soak things in more this time around, especially at this stage of your career?
Oh, most definitely. You know, with time comes, you know, you get knowledge and you just become more understanding of situations and things. So with me just being so young when I first got here and the years in, it was just like, you know, I'm thinking I'm always get that time back and get those chances of get those memories back with the team, with the people that I love. Like, so, you know, I get hurt with the Achilles and I didn't never know that I'd never play with Mike and Jordan again. Like, I never knew that. So, like, things like that, what makes me come around full circle to, like, I really got to appreciate and really just sit back and just take it in and not try to think about the future or the past, just be in the moment because, you know, you never know. And, like, this time around, I feel like, you know, with the knowledge that I have now and just the life, how life has worked out for me over these last few years, I just think the best thing for me to do is just stay in the moment and be present with what I have to do right now because that's all we promise.
What was it like being on the other sideline going against Josh Allen?
That's something that I didn't want. I didn't want to be on the other side. Like, seeing how much success that the team was having, like that, like, I was legit genuinely happy because it was like I played a part in it somehow. Like, those guys are rolling. Like, I'm watching TV, I'm watching them play certain games, and I'm like, I'm looking at defense, I'm like, oh, they're in that car. They doing that. So it was just like, I'm kind of on the team a little bit, but I'm like, Coach McDermott called a timeout right now. Like, I'm going through the whole scenarios. I'm like, yeah, like, those are my boys. But, man, I'm so excited to be back, man. You guys don't understand, like, how much it meant to me that, you know, these guys reached out and thought enough of me to bring me back.
Have you spoken to Poirier or Hyde since, you know, your arrival?
Oh, yeah. We talk all the time. Like, when Micah got back here last year, he was calling me. We was talking all the time. Even Poe, FaceTime from Miami. Like, we talk a lot. When I say, like, genuine love for the people that I go to work with, like, those are my brothers. Like, Micah, Poe, Taryn, Dane, like, the original crew, like, those guys are guys that I always love. So
that is Buffalo Bills cornerback. Yes, Buffalo Bills cornerback, Tre'Davious White. Not Ravens cornerback anymore. Not Rams cornerback anymore. Once again, Buffalo Bills cornerback, Tre'Davious White. He held a media availability, was part of that, yesterday at One Bills Drive. Today, his former teammate, Bills former safety Micah Hyde, is going to have his Hyde softball, charity softball game press conference from down here at Salem Field. Everything is set up, the backdrop over at home plate. It looks great. And we're going to hear from Micah Hyde at noon today. And I'm sure he's going to be asked, what's it like to see Tre'Davious White back in Buffalo? I know Micah's not playing, but Tre'Davious is there. But Micah's on his way down. We're going to hear from him at noon, and we're going to have a lot more for you here at WGR, WGR550.com, at Sal Sports, including your obscure jerseys I've been asking you for, because Friday night is obscure jersey night down here at Salem Field with the Bisons, one of the promotions they run. Tomorrow, they have a game at 6:05, then it's the NFL draft going on, and you can go to the game, go home, be a part of the draft. And then how about this? Friday night, you know what else is going on besides obscure jersey night? Whalen Brewing in Orchard Park is where you can find the ultimate draft party from 7 to 10, hosted by Jeremy and Joe. Test your knowledge with 5 rounds of trivia for awesome prizes, courtesy of Whalen, plus a special themed menu. Don't miss the party. Visit WGR550.com for details. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here live at Salem Field in downtown Buffalo, getting ready for the Micah Hyde Charity Softball Game press conference and talking NFL Draft with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, listen all week for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the 5th annual Micah Hyde Charity Softball Game right here at Salem Field in downtown Buffalo, Sunday, May 4th, as your favorite offensive and defensive players play against each other to benefit the Imagine for Youth Foundation. Tickets are on sale at HydeCharitySoftball.com and Bisons.com. That's where I am right now. I am actually sitting in the dugout. Technology is amazing, Josh. I have the ability to walk around. I'm going to do that. I'm going to walk up the steps. I feel like I'm coming out to actually play a game, and I'm literally walking on the outside track, if you will, and now on the grass here outside. I don't want to go on the diamond. That
don't
is
step
a
on the lines.
You do not. That is a sin in baseball with the work that these people put in, and for good reason. The hose is out. They have some things covered. The bases are not in. They're hanging out there. I'm not going to walk on the diamond because that would be really bad for me. Somebody would tackle me, probably, to be honest with you. We don't want that. But I will walk around here along the track because you know why? Josh, it's beautiful out here. It is great. Have you been to this yet before, Josh? Oh.
Sorry about that, Sal. What's up? Sorry, I was answering a phone
call. I said,
have
you been to this before? I'm sorry. I thought I lost you. I'm sorry. Have you been to this before, the charity softball game?
Yeah, I went a couple years ago, actually. It was a little rainy and everything, but it was still a great time all throughout.
Yeah.
I think that was the year that Josh Allen actually hit a softball onto the road, which was
I think
quite
he's done that
highlight.
A few times.
Well,
that's right.
Yeah, that's true. But I do remember
somebody,
it
might have been. Well, didn't we have when that happened that year, I think we did a WGR poll or Jeremy went on the air and he said something like, no, it was Joe. Joe said, if Josh Allen hit a ball and you were driving on the 190 or nearby there and it hit your car and dented it, would you ever get it fixed? Because Josh Allen hit the ball.
I remember that, yeah.
That was a question we asked on the radio.
I don't think I'd ever get it fixed. I think I would just like circle it and write next to it like what it is. So
you'd have to
know.
Have him sign it, right?
Yeah,
you got to get like you somehow, Josh, you got to sign my car. You dented it with a softball.
That would be
when you hit
the
it 400
coolest
feet.
Thing ever. Like,
you think about it. Yeah.
If you ever had to, like, if say it was like your door, right? If you ever had to sell the car, you'd just like take the door off and like hang it on the wall. That would be like the most obscure.
Yes.
We're talking obscure jerseys. That'd be like the most obscure piece of sports memorabilia ever. A
no doubt about
piece
it.
Of a car.
So I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking out in left field. And if you've been here and you know what I'm talking about, so there's the protective netting out in left field to make sure that the balls that are hit during games don't go onto the road where people are driving. Because that is a massive shot. Like, to hit it over the net, I mean, it's 325 down the line. It's 364 to the alley. So in between there, you're talking 340. So even if it's down the line, the shortest spot, you hit it down the line, you hit 325. It's a good, I mean, John, how high up do you think? 50 feet up, right? I'm asking John here. About 50 feet up. So you'd have to hit 325 plus 50 feet up in the air. This is like one of those deals where, like, Tyler Bass kicks a ball, and you're like, oh, my God, that would have been good from 70 because it was so far up the uprights when it went through. You'd have to, and Josh did this. Josh literally did this. He hit it over that netting one time. That's how far the softball traveled, which is absolutely amazing to think about. Somebody could do that. And, yes, as Anthony Sprague, the GM of the Bison, said a little bit earlier today, Josh, they don't have the firm in-pen marker commitment that'll be here, but he's been talking about being here. And even so much that he said he wants to put on a show. So how about that?
Sounds get down like somebody's here for been the, hitting a batting
yes.
cage.
Oh, I love it. So get down here for the Hyde Charity Softball Game on Sunday, May 4th. Get your tickets at Bisons.com. It's a great tailgate beforehand. And I will tell you, just from personal experience, I've been down here for all of these. I've been the on-field MC for these. These guys stay after and sign. And, you know, I'm not promising anybody on the radio here, Sal Capaccio says you're going to get an autograph. But I will tell you, these players, they understand what it means to this community to have this event, to be a part of it, and for the money that's raised for all these foundations. And a lot of these guys stick around, and they sign autographs. They sign softballs and pictures or whatever. And it's really cool. And if you get a chance, come on down. It's going to be a great time. Sunday, May 4th, down here at Salem Field for the Hyde charity softball game. Okay, we are waiting on Micah Hyde. Hopefully he shows up before we get off the air here. And if that's the case, we'll have him on the air. But in the meantime, let's take a timeout, and we'll get you a break here in before we come back here to Salem Field and hopefully have Micah Hyde at least before he steps to the home plate area where he's going to be talking to the local media at 12 noon here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, welcome back here to sunny Salem Field here in downtown Buffalo. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. How about this timing right now? I got Micah Hyde who's walking right up to me. Micah, we're live on the radio. We're live on the air here, buddy. So hate to throw a microphone in your face, but we know why you're here for the press conference for the media. But as long as I got a chance here. Yeah, I think that's why we're here, right? Looks great. What a great day for this, right?
Beautiful day. I'm hearing it's going to be similar to this come next Sunday. Knock on wood, hopefully that, you know, we get 64 and sunny like this. But you never know. It's Buffalo.
When did you get back in town?
I got in last night. Woke up this morning, got a quick haircut because I look like a caveman. And here we are for this press conference.
It's going to be amazing. We've already been talking about some of the different ways that you're going to be raising money, not just for Imagine for Youth.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how it has changed and evolved over the years to help out with all these different foundations.
Well, I think in order for good events to stay successful, is you got to evolve. And like you just mentioned, and for us this year, we're going to not only be profiting from the proceeds, Imagine for Youth, but also each and every player on the team that attends that has a nonprofit we're all going to cut the pie evenly. So I feel like, you know, this is finally to a point where our vision has kind of came true. We wanted this to eventually be an overall charity game for all guys on the team, that the community supports the players. Players, you know, come out here and have a good time. And I couldn't be more happy with the support that, you know, this community has showed over the years and continues to show.
You talked about how the vision started. I remember maybe 3,000 people here the first year.
Yeah.
We're up to 16,000 sold out, tailgating outside, people trying to get in. How does that make you feel? How proud are you to see it grow the way it has?
It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to be able to not only have the support from the community for myself, you know, my name and my family and in us, but also for the foundation and now going to be, you know, hopefully moving forward, other guys' foundation. So I just feel like it's a huge way to get out here in front of the fans and just have fun, meet some kids, sign some autographs, and all the money that we're raising that are going to the other guys' foundations, we advise them to keep it in Western New York. So, you know, hopefully that they can continue to do more events and more things in Western New York, not just, you know, the events that we put on, but, you know, just kind of spread it out even more. So, I think everyone's going to benefit from this game, and we couldn't, you know, be any more excited.
I know we don't have a total firm commitment yet from Josh Allen, but we'd love to see him here hitting bombs again. And I think that could be the plan if he winds up showing up, which I think he very well may.
We shall see. He's a very, very busy man with a very busy day coming up. So, I haven't I'm not going to sit here and bother him and keep questioning on if he's coming or not. But, I think that it's a great way for, like Sean has said in the past, it's a great way for, you know, the team to come together and have fun. And, we love this event for that sake, too.
Okay, speaking of the team coming together, how about Tre'Davious White returning to the Buffalo Bills? You know, and emotionally, he was emotional yesterday in his press conference, and he said that when he tore his Achilles, he didn't realize it would be the last time he played with you and Jordan, and how that's kind of really allowed him to take perspective on taking every day, one day at a time. But what did Tre'Davious White mean to you and the Buffalo Bills over the last 7-8 years?
Everything. I would not be here without Tre'Davious. Just his constant friendship and motivation and one of the hardest workers I've ever been around. Even throughout his injuries, man, he was in the training room, he was pushing, he was trying to get better, trying to get stronger, trying to get faster, trying to get healthy. Love him to death, man. And this, you know, I think I was away from football a little bit last year, but really being removed and announcing my retirement, you realize that, you know, football is one thing. But, you know, these friendships that I was able to build over the last couple of years being in Buffalo and just my career being around some amazing guys is what I cherish for forever. And so as soon as I heard he was going back, we were on our way to Arizona for a family trip. I called him, FaceTimed him. We all were in the car, you know, happy, screaming, excited for him. And to see that smile on his face, and we all know, guys that have been around here for a while, you know, Sal, that Tre'Davious White smile is contagious. And I'm going to be honest, you know, I think that he lost it for a couple of years being in, you know, being injured and stuff like that. But to see him back and see him, you know, in that Bills uniform, I think it means a lot to everybody.
Are you a draft guy? Do you follow the draft? Do you get into it and see what's happening around the league? Iowa guys, Packers, Bills, all that kind of stuff?
I am not. You know, obviously, I want to see the more Hawks, the better getting drafted. I've always said that the more Hawks you have on your team, the better the team will be. You know, Coach Ferentz knows how to recruit and develop and create some NFL guys, and that's why you see him so successful in the NFL. But when it comes to the draft, it's kind of, man, this whole NIL and this whole draft, and it's like pumping them up, and they're all saying I should be the number one. It's just, it's never been my thing. You know, that whole process has never been my thing. I'm more about just staying under the radar, work for what's yours, get drafted where you get drafted, and, you know, you're all starting at the same level anyways. Obviously, pay's different, so that's what guys are trying to chase, but I've never been a big fan.
What was your draft night experience like?
You know what? I was a day three guy, fifth round, right? That was day three. I was like, man, I can't watch this draft because I know a bunch of guys are going to go in front of me that I just don't feel like they are better than me. And so I was out on the golf course with my buddies. Name got called. I got a Green Bay, Wisconsin area code that called me. Was able to answer on the golf course. Yeah. And, we were throwing our golf. Cool. We were throwing our golf clubs and running around. Yeah.
I love it. All right, before I let you go, really interesting topic I had today with the listeners. Friday night is obscure jersey night here for the Bisons. Yeah. Basically, you come, you wear any kind of jersey. People wear things from minor league hockey to movie stars. Have you ever been a jersey guy? Do you have something obscure, piece of memorabilia, anything like that that's kind of like no one else has something like this?
I have a few jerseys. I was a big D-Wade fan growing up. Yeah, so I got a bunch of D-Wade. I got his Marquette jersey. I got
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got the Olympic jersey. I got, yeah, obviously, his Heat jersey. So I was a big D-Wade fan. Before that, you know, yeah, I was that little kid riding around the streets of Falstoria, you know, rocking a Dennis Rodman.
Yes.
I think I had one of those Bulls jerseys. I think I had a Terrell Davis randomly. I don't know how I even remember that, but I think I had a Terrell Davis when I was even a Broncos fan. But yeah, man, that jersey phase, that was big when I was growing up. And so every single day, you know, you'd see a LaDainian Tomlinson jersey in middle school, and you see all these different jerseys. So, I'm sure I have a few somewhere tucked away in the closet.
And I know a lot of people listening have a Micah Hyde jersey, number 23 forever in Buffalo, right, buddy?
I love it. I love it, man. Thank you so much, Sal.
You got it. Thank you. I'll talk to you in a little while at the press conference. That is Micah Hyde. He is here for his charity softball game press conference. I appreciate a few minutes with me because he's going to be talking with the rest of the media coming up here shortly. And I'm sure he's going to say a lot of the same things that he basically said here. But we are live on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here from Salem Field, downtown Buffalo, here at Salem Field. And we're trying to get a whole bunch of people here. Let's see if I got it. Well, you know what? I don't have much time left, so I'm not going to stick my mic into someone's face here as they're getting ready for the press conference. But you can, obviously, head to WGR550.com, head to our social channels. We're going to have much more coverage here from Micah Hyde and the charity softball game here from downtown Buffalo. It's going to be a very, very cool day. Micah's putting on his jersey right now. It is 23. He's got the black jersey that they're outfitting him here for the softball game. Is that going to be the defensive jersey color or just for Micah? This is John who's talking. Is that just what is the jersey? Is that just the defense or just for Micah?
Just defense? No, yeah, he's wearing his jersey.
But fits like a glove, huh?
I mean, this is just a sublimate. Yeah,
this is prototype. These are stitched this year.
I got one too because I'll be on the field with you guys. It looks awesome. Does that mean I have to root for the defense because I got a black jersey?
Well, I think, yeah.
I might have to, right? I know. I'll do that. There
offense
you go.
It's going to be gray and red, so they're going to be completely different.
Offense gray and red, and defense wearing black. That's really cool. So awesome time here out here. John is part of it. 26 shirts. They're outfitting these guys for the jerseys. It's going to be a great night, John. This is great out here, isn't it? Love having it.
It's beautiful. You couldn't ask for a better day than this. I hope it's just like this in a couple weeks, right?
No doubt about it. Thank you very much for being a part of this. Yeah. So I'll be on the field wearing the jersey they gave me as well to be a part of this incredible event, raising a lot of money. It's the Imagine for Youth Foundation, Team Lammy, Equitable Advisors, a whole bunch of people coming together to make this happen. Okay, Bisons.com is where you go for tickets not only for this particular game, the Micah Hyde Charity Softball game, but also tickets for the homestand. Let's not forget, the Bisons are home this weekend, and I'm telling you folks, it's going to be great weather this weekend, and let's not forget, they got a game, it's a doubleheader today, all right, Tomorrow, 6:05 is when the game starts. And don't worry, you won't miss any of the draft because the draft doesn't start until 8 p.m. on Thursday night. So once that happens, you can watch the game, Bisons, get home, and the Bills aren't picking until number 30. I'm guessing, Josh, just over the last few years, the way it's worked, is the Bills won't pick until probably about 11:30. 11:30 p.m. So it's going to be a little bit late. Oh, by the way, Josh, we got like 1 minute left. I'm really sorry. Is Brian still on hold? We had a hold caller named Brian. Is he still on hold? All right, let's get to him real quick. You got about 1 minute for me, Brian. I apologize. I had Micah Hyde here. Go ahead. What do you got for me?
Hey, what I got is the original Buffalo Sabre jersey, 1969-1970, Punch Imlach needed a jersey. He called a CCM salesman. He came down. He showed us some jerseys, and he pointed at the blue and gold and said, that's wow. my jersey. Now, how I got it was I'm an original season ticket holder from that first year. So when he found out I was sick around Thanksgiving, he sent over a box to my house, and in there was a Bobby Hull picture, original wow. six hockey pucks, an original Buffalo Sabre puck from that first year, and this jersey. And I feel like I'm a little like Jumbo Joe Watson. Nobody believes he has the original puck. Well, I look, his puck is the same as my puck, and that's the jersey that Imlach picked, and that CCM salesman gave it to me. There you go.
Brian, thank you very much. I appreciate that story. It's a great note to end on. I'll be down here for the Micah Hyde press conference coming up in a few minutes. Sabres Live up next, then One Bills Live. Show up on the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR.